to give
nice introductions, but I don't like to receive them because it takes my time. Okay. Now, you all probably thought I wasn't going to get to give an announcement. I got one. Okay, I got one. The rain is good. God watered the flowers and the gardens and the lawns, and he also made mud on the parking lot. So this is an announcement for children and their parents. Please, do not come in with muddy shoes. We found mud, and again, it is not a playground circle going back the hallway through the new library and in around this way. Do not run around that and make that a runaround. Go outside and run around. And if you run through the mud, you ought to get your backside whooped if you're going to come into church and bring mud into it. Now, I'm not going to do it. Your parents ought to do it. And if you knew they were going to do it, you wouldn't bring mud in. All right, that's the announcement. Amen. It's over. Okay. Now, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Looking at Psalm 119. Very familiar part of the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, and I'm going to look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. There are those Christians who would never, could never be tempted to run from God. They know better. They desire better. And that is good. But to these I say a word of caution that's given in Psalm 119, verse 10. And that is, don't wander. Don't wander. I looked up the word wander, and it means to err, to go astray, to sin through ignorance. In other words, not running out to sin, but ending up there. Now, who is this person? Well, the first part of the verse, see what it says. With my whole heart have I sought thee. This is not the kind of person who is trying to go hell-bent into all that they want by way of sin. This is the kind of person who is wanting to do right, trying to do right, desiring to do right. But to him, the psalmist says, let me not wander from thy commandments. We must take specific, conscious care to stay in the path of righteousness. It does not happen automatically. You automatically, because of your old nature, are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, the songwriter said. We must take direct action in order to stay in a path of righteousness. Daniel said that he purposed, where? In his heart. He purposed in his heart. Abstinence and self-denial are important. Abstinence and self-denial of what? Abstinence and self-denial needs to be a general practice of life. Christian, those of you that are born again, you need to have as a rule of thumb this matter of abstinence. There's just some things you will not do. There's just some places you will not go. There's just some things you will not say. You are abstaining from it. And you are denying yourself. Even those things which of themselves are not wicked and evil, but you know they're not going to help you. Maybe somebody else can do it and not be hindered by it, but you know you can. Guess what? God's going to hold you accountable for you. He's not going to hold you accountable for them or them for you. It's a one-on-one thing with God. Do not wander. The animal sheep wander. That's why they need a shepherd. And they do need a shepherd. The animal sheep need a shepherd. Because you see what will happen. The animal sheep, their main thing is just to eat that tuft of green grass. So they'll eat a tuft of green grass here. They look and there's another tuft. And they go over there and they eat that one. And while they're eating that one, they look up and there's another one. They go over there and they eat that one. And then they look around and, oh, there's one. And they go over there. I'm not going to bother coming down. But, you see? And they just do that. They wander. That sheep did not start out over here to get over there. He just went from one tuft of grass to another tuft of grass. And he was not intending to go astray. That's why the Word of God tells us here in verse 10, let me not wander. There are many a good Christian, a godly person. They don't intend. They would never think about running away from God. They don't wake up in the morning and plan on how they can escape doing God's will. But this thought comes along and they entertain it. And then another thought comes along and they entertain it. And then they hear somebody say something and they listen to that. And they just wander from one tuft of grass to another until after a while they're away from the will of God for their lives. Now he tells us here in verse 10, let me not wander from thy commandments. God's protection, God's direction comes by staying in His Word, staying in the book. And now, listen, it's important that you read your Bible. You know that. I'm not telling you something new. It's important that you read your Bible, that you study your Bible. Reading and studying are two different levels of involvement with the Word of God. It's important that you read the Word of God, that you study the Word of God. You say, I don't know how to study the Word of God. Go see your pastor. He likely has a few ideas for you, okay? He's your shepherd. And he is there to protect the sheep just like the animal shepherd. He sees that one sheep and he goes here. And then that sheep goes there. And then it goes there. And when the shepherd sees that, he's got a rod. And he's going to go over with that rod. He's going to knock that sheep and get it back where it belongs. Now your shepherd isn't going to knock you with a rod. But you're going to take the Word of God. And he's going to show you where you need to be. And then you need to listen. And if that sheep animal, when the shepherd hits it with the rod to get it back where it belongs, if it won't go back, that animal shepherd is going to make it go back. Now your shepherd, the man of God, he can't make you do anything. Because you're not just an animal, you're a person. But he's going to do all that he can to show you where you're doing wrong and why you need to get back to where you are. It's important that you are staying in his Word and staying in his way. You need to be living in the way of the Lord. We got a lot of Christians that need to hit the altar and confess their pride about all that they know from the Bible. About all of the knowledge that they have in the Word of God. That knowledge isn't going to do you a bit of good if you won't put it into practice and live in the way. His word, his way, his wisdom. I got so weary as a pastor when I would hear people say, "Well, I think." Well, I think. Well, at least they're a thinking person. But they're usually, when they say it, they're thinking the wrong thing. We need to depend on the wisdom of God. We need to think in line with the word of the God. Now, I want you to notice what precedes verse 10. Verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." We'll often quote that verse, and then we'll often quote the verse that follows, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now remember who it is that these verses are spoken of. In the beginning of verse 10, they're spoken of the individual who with his whole heart is seeking God. But he ends up wandering away. The intentions are good, but good intentions aren't enough. They need to be followed up with good commitment and good action. And when we don't have that, you aren't any further along. You're at the same place you were when you began. And so it is to not wander from the commands of the Lord. How can I find God if I have wandered from Him? Pastor, you're describing me. That, I'm afraid, is what I've done. And I'm afraid that that's the condition I'm in. Well, let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 8. Now, of course, there's lots of good verses in the book of Proverbs. It's a good book to read, a chapter every day. You read it in a month's time. Proverbs 27, verse 8. "As a bird that..." Oh, look at this. "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." Place of safety, place of security, the place of where he ought to be is in a nest as a bird. And the place that the Christian ought to be, the person seeking Jesus, is to be in his place. A man that wandereth from his place. Out of place, out of duty, and in danger. Many do not know that they are well off. And they're always looking for greener grass somewhere else. And they end up with barren living. Because they're always trying to find something better than what they have.
That's right.
Remember the problem back in Psalm 119 verse 10 was wandering, and like the animal sheep from one tuft of grass to another, always looking for greener grass. A lot of times Christians are like that. There's got to be some better way. There's got to be some different way. And so they're always looking for something more. And they end up with barren living. Why? Because they are not taking the time to grow in the grace of God. And now there's one thing you can count on. People that are always wandering, people that are always looking for something better, something different, they know how to point out what's wrong with everything that they used to be at. They know what to tell you you ought not to do. But they just can't ever seem to get it together for themselves on what they ought to do. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, you'll recognize it as soon as I start reading it. 1 Timothy 6, 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, it doesn't just say contentment. You can be content with what you have, but it says godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is valuable. Accept what you are. Accept who you are. Accept where you are. Quit always looking for something better somewhere else. If we don't succeed where we are, then you are a prime candidate to wander off. You say, "What should I do?" Just stay where you are and try again. Just stay where you are and get things right with God. You say, "Well, I don't think anything's wrong with God." Well, you better think again. Because there's always something that every one of us can do better in and ought to do better in. Now, we ought to thank God for where we are. We ought to thank God for what growth we have experienced. We ought to thank God and appreciate for where He's brought us to. But never, you see, contentment, godly contentment, is different than self-contentment. Self-contentment is just that, self. And it doesn't help a person at all. Is thy heart right with God? It's important that we know that it is. Hast dominion over self and over sin? We need to realize that we must, in our own life, we need to have abstinence and self-denial. We sang that. Hast thou dominion over self and over sin? Is thy heart right with God? I've said this so often, I'm sure the people here at Black Creek are sick and tired of hearing it, but here it is again. It was one of the great leaders of history, I think Martin Luther, but regardless of who it was, he made the statement, "Christians sing more lies than they say lies." Songwriter said, "Is thy heart right with God? Cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly." Yes, we indeed need to have humility. I know you're thinking to yourself, "Wow, sounds like he's expended his message." No, that's just part one. Turn, if you will, please, to another psalm, Psalm 73, where Asaph, the psalm writer, he was one of the chief musicians under David. Asaph wrote this psalm. And he shows us a common cause of wandering. Psalm 73, I'm going to read it verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel." Oh, well, this isn't for us then. This is written to Israel. Listen, if this is something good that God wanted for Israel, He probably wants that same kind of good thing for us Christians. Don't you think? You know, He doesn't have a different standard of what He wants for His people that follow Him. And so here it's addressed to Israel, but we will not do any harm to the Scripture if we apply it to us as born-again Christians. "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." I don't understand. I can't get answers to my prayer. Maybe you got a dirty heart. Right. Well, you know, I try and do right. Well, I guess that might be commendable, but how's your heart? Is it clean? Is it clean? Is there anything that needs to be cleansed? If we confess our sins, say it with me. You know it. If we confess, say it out loud. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to have a clean heart. Now, Asaph goes on and he says in verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I mean, he's in a dangerous position here. He's about ready to wander. He's about ready to fall in a way that he does not want to do. Now, what caused this? Right there in verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walketh through the earth. Verse 11, they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They're not even afraid of God. They say, can God know these things? God doesn't know what's going on. Now, the common reason people wander this way is in verse 3. I was envious at the foolish. If you haven't in the past, or you aren't doing it now, you likely will in the future become envious. Your neighbor's going to get a new car. And you're using baler wire to keep yours going. Okay? How would you use baler wire to keep a car going? Have you never wired up a muffler? You spoiled thing, you. And so, your neighbor gets, maybe not brand new, but he gets another car, and it's nicer than yours. Look at that. Would you see that, honey? They got a new car over there. Well, their old one wasn't that bad. Man, I wish we had a car that was that nice. Don't be envious. Problem Asaph talks about here was people that were envious at the foolish. And then at work, I got home from work and I said to my wife, can you believe, you know that scoundrel I told you about who was lying about the boss? Yeah. Well, guess what? He just got a promotion. And I don't understand it. I've been there 5 years longer than he has. And he got the promotion. I got passed right over. I don't understand it. I was envious at the foolish. And on you can go with all kinds of illustrations. I don't know what will illustrate your life. I don't know how you might be envious at other people and what they have and you don't have. By the way, I ought to go back to 1 Timothy 6:6. Remember what it says? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, that doesn't mean monetary gain or material gain, though God might give you that if you quit being envious at the wicked and be thankful for what you have. Now, listen, that's easy to preach. It's not always easy to live. You say, well, you Christians don't have that problem. Yeah, and you believe in Santa Claus, too. And so here he tells us here, verse 10, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Even though God's people act the way he described in verse 3 to 9, he still gives them a full cup of water. Verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Oh, you see what he's describing there? People who remember 1 John 1:9 and they've confessed their sins and they've sought the cleansing of the Lord, and but they end up saying, well, it's all in vain. It doesn't do any good. I confessed it to the Lord and I sought his forgiveness about it, but nothing seems to change. No, you see, you're starting out wrong. That's why you don't see what God can do. As a matter of fact, you start out with the wrong attitude like that, and it's likely to be the thing that keeps God from doing for you. Now, obviously, this is a message that's directed at Christians more so than the unsaved that are here. But I am declaring to you that do not know Christ as your Savior that are here, this is the kind of Christian life that you need to come to know through Jesus Christ. Okay? This is the kind of life, and I think most of you that are here, at least I know from Black Creek Church, that are seeking the Lord, you know this is the kind of Christian life that needs to be lived. But what I'm describing for you is the kind of Christian life that pleases God. We got too many Christians that they have learned how to live the Christian culture. They've learned how to dress. They've learned how to talk. They've learned how to not talk. Want to learn something about people? Sit in their car, turn on a radio, and hit the presets.
Uh-oh.
And see what kind of music they're listening to.
Uh-oh.
I heard about a preacher whose sanctification came into question because of the presets on a radio. That ought not to be, folks. That ought not to be. And I'm not just talking about that preacher. I'm talking about you. What do you listen to on the radio? You washed your hands in innocency, and you cleansed your heart, but you consider it to be in vain because nothing's different. Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. No matter how long it goes, I'm just constantly plagued. My daddy used to use that term. As a matter of fact, the way I remember hearing my daddy talk about it, I was, how old was I? 13 when he died. And I remember him, when he was upset with me, he would say, "You plague me, boy." I was giving him a difficult time. And if I say, verse 15, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. There's some things I'd like to say, but I don't say them because I don't want my kids to hear me saying them. I don't want my grandchildren to hear me saying the kind of things I'm thinking. Now listen, that's two-faced living. That's insincere living. You've learned the Christian culture. You've learned the dress. And I'm not encouraging people to dress immodestly. I've got some winged deer of sermons on modest dressing, okay? So I'm not encouraging immodest dressing. But if all you've learned is how to dress, you're going to come up short when it comes to this matter of godliness.
That's right.
If all you've learned is what not to listen to on the radio, you're going to come up short when it comes to this matter of righteousness.
Yes,
what you need is godliness with contentment. So then Asaph goes on in verse 16 and says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. No matter how I tried to understand what he described previously, he said, no matter how I try to understand it, no matter how I try to reason out and reckon why it is that that ungodly people seem to get along in life, don't seem to have the same problems that we have. He said it was just too painful to understand. Now listen, let me put it on pause, okay? Hit the pause button. I'm going to put this in parenthesis. You know, the same as I know, that it isn't only Christians that are in the hospital. To hear some Christians talk, you know, well, my neighbor, he never gets sick and he's ungodly. And my cousin, you know, my cousin doesn't live for the Lord. And he swears and cusses and he's never sick. But boy, I'm always sick. That's the way some people think. They think that only Christian people get sick. Only Christian people have financial problems. My goodness, no. We all know better than that. And that's just what the psalmist is saying. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I could not reckon it out. Then comes the morning, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. See, it's when he went into the house of God, he found out how things ought to be. He found out why things were the way they were. You say, well, I go to the house of God and I don't have that understanding. I have an idea. When Asaph said he went into the house of God, he shut his mouth, opened his ears, and took in what he heard. Just going to church doesn't do for you what it needs to. Going is just the first step, but once you're there, then is when you need to open up, let God speak to your heart, and respond to Him. How many times have I, at the end of a message, whether I've preached it or Pastor Asquith have preached it, I've said to you, if God has spoken to your heart, respond to what He spoke to you about. You know, for our visitors, we have a wonderful time during Youth Week. But it's amazing. It's amazing. God only speaks during Youth Week.
That's right.
Because I say, if God has spoken to your heart, do something about it.
That's it.
And I never hear, I never see anybody come and talk to the Lord about it. I never hear anybody, Pastor talked about A.W. Tozer. I don't hear about people, calling Pastor and saying, guess what? Doesn't such happen on Sunday morning? God spoke to my heart, and this is what I said to Him. Now, praise God, there's a few that do. You know, but 1 in 3 months?
Yep, come on.
God is there! Of course He's there. I'm afraid, until I went into the house, into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. And so he says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Now he's back on the people that they were envious for. He said, then I got in the house of God and I understood therein. And I began to realize that what I was observing was not the whole of their life. There was more that was going to come. And they have slippery places. And how are they brought into desolation as in a moment? And they are utterly consumed with terrors. And as a dream when they waketh. Oh, that's what I was thinking, you know. My neighbor there, he lives in ways that he ought not to live, and seemed like everything went right for him. And then we saw that new car that he got, well, guess what? It burned up on him. Had electrical problems and literally burned up. And I said to my wife, what a surging light. There's something wrong with that kind of thinking from a Christian. If I understand Ecclesiastes, isn't there a portion there that says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep? Oh yeah, well that only means with other Christians. Show me that clarification.
That's right. That's right.
Now you see, we ought not to be happy when even the ungodly have problems. You're missing the point. Your attitude's missing the point. Now you had an opportunity. Car burned up. Had an opportunity to go next door to him. Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill. Man, what happened to the car? Well, Bill will be glad to tell you. You know, I'm sorry for you. Now, you've got to have a heart right with God in order to be able to say that to him, don't you? But then you can say, well, I'm sorry for you. I want you to know, Bill, I'm going to pray for you about this. Now, Bill probably couldn't care less about prayer. But he knows you care. And when you're saying that and follow through with the fact that you're going to pray for him about this mess that he's in, do you think God might be able to use something like that? I know he can use something like that a whole lot more than well deserves him right. Glad it burned up on him. God sure can't use that kind of an attitude, do you think? Well, we're just about at the end of Psalm 73. Verse 25 says, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whatever your distress, whatever your dilemma, whatever the difficulties are that you're experiencing in life, just you remember you're not there alone. God is with you. Did he not tell us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Yes. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. For thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Yeah? Don't be envious of them. Just let them live. Pray God give you an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. And then just keep living for God. He says at the end of this psalm, I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. That's where our trust needs to be, in the Lord our God. And not just for our own benefit, but he says there, that I may declare all thy works. God wants to make us to be the kind of Christian that we need to be so that we can declare his works. This is not about us. This is not becoming godly in Christ Jesus about us. We're to become godly in Christ Jesus so that he has an instrument that he can use to point people to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Pointing people to Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad somebody cared about you? Aren't you glad somebody pointed you to Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that somebody prayed for you and reached you?
Yes.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for loving us, caring for us, providing for us. And I pray that you would help us always to remain faithful to you as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I need six young men for ushers.